We made this.
Welcome back to Pick a Disc. I'm your host, Matt Latham, here to chat to someone about a disc for whatever reason they want to talk about. This week, / fortnight even, the guest is Helena. She's back again to introduce me to another album. And it's not a sad one this time. She's chosen Caroline Polachek's Pang. And we talk about the songs, we talk about Caroline, we talk about Caroline as a songwriter, as a producer, and as a musician. We also touch upon her previous work in Chairlift, and we just venture off into all sorts of manner of discussions about the album and what it might be about. Before that, this is the part where I tell you to basically pimp us out to anywhere and everyone you want to. If there's places which review us, then, you know, just a little white lie and, you know, give us top marks just to boost us up a bit so that other people can join the army of lying about a podcast. But other than that, you know, just do whatever. If you want to follow us, we're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook under Pick a Disc. We've got a Facebook group, which you can find, I think, I hope. And yeah, and that's it, really. You can engage with us. We've got an email account as well, pickadisc@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'm not saying desperate or anything. I just like to encourage interaction with people. Talking about interaction with people, I spoke to someone with the name of Helena about an album by Caroline Polachek, and that album was called Pang. And you're about to listen to what that discussion was. So, Helena, welcome back. Welcome back to you now in the very, very limited club of appearing on here three times. So
I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah. So I must be doing something right. You're not...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not blacklisting me or anything. So it's a...
No, not at all. You're all good.
Yeah, give it time. Give it time. But aside from that, before we go on, I want to mention that whilst on the podcast that since we've last spoke, I've finally went to my first two So Far Sounds experiences.
Hey.
Because I think we spoke of that in like the Phoebe Bridges episode that he was involved in that. So I finally experienced So Far Sounds about twice. So, yeah, because I went to, the first one I went to was in August, where it was in someone's room, like the top floor of like a block of flats.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, because this is So Far Sounds Birmingham, and I believe that was the first time that it was under new management under yourself, and I can't remember his name.
Yeah, we kind of took over, but actually I've taken a step back, so he's on his own at the moment. He's kind of going solo and he's doing really, really well, so yeah. I'm glad that you've enjoyed them, though. They are lovely, and Birmingham is such a great place for new music, because I feel like there's a lot of music that, I'm sure I said this last time, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but a lot of it seems to go under the radar, and a lot of people seem to miss a lot of kind of cool and quirky bands. So Far seems to do a really good job of showing those off. So I'm really glad to hear that you've enjoyed yourself.
Yeah,
that's really great.
Yeah, because I think the second one was in like a brewery, which was like which was basically more or less on my doorstep. Well, it was a short walk to a train station, less than like 5 minutes on the train, and then pretty much took one step and you was at the venue, which was great. I was back home in 20 minutes. I didn't have to drive.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm not sponsored by them whatsoever, but I do recommend the experience. I want to use these sticks to recommend the experience. It's very interesting because everyone's kind of there for the same reason, so you don't get the delightful experience of people sitting just there to chat. So sometimes unplugged, where so it's a lot quieter, so it's you just got the room, the raw experience of a musician and their instruments playing, and it's just, and usually when you have that in like an actual gig venue, particularly with support acts doing something similar, then you get the weird vibe where people are kind of talking and not really paying attention, whereas everyone, my experience so far, everyone's there for the same thing, so they're all attentive. It's a very interesting experience.
Yeah, well, So Far has rules, really. They're kind of, you know, loose rules, but they are rules of the fact that So Far was started because the two guys that started it were fed up of really like loud, noisy gigs where they couldn't really see the artist. They couldn't get the vibe or the feel. So they wanted to make it smaller. So the whole point is that you sit there, you don't say anything, you listen to them. A lot of the time it's unplugged. Sometimes there is PA and you can hear it all nice and loud, but it's meant to be kind of music in its rawest and almost like most vulnerable state, and that just seems to do it for a lot of people. It is quite nice to see somebody be so relaxed and open with you in a small space. It just seems to go down well.
And the first one I went to in the flat, and there was quite a nice moment where the host, whose name I've suddenly forgotten again, so sorry, said, like, and he did the second time as well, like, raise your hand if you've been to South Park Sands before, raise your hand if it's your first one. And pretty much the majority of the room put their hand up as this is their first experience and stuff. So it was pretty good. It was good to be like surrounded by people who are like new to the experience as well. So it was good. I'm probably looking forward to trying seeing it again as well. So and it's not isolated to Birmingham. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, there's like 400 cities around the world that do it. So yeah, it's South Park Sands. So it's basically SOFAR and Sounds. So if you do Google, you'll find thousands of videos on YouTube with them all. So yeah, I recommend that. So
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. But we're not here to talk about South Park Sounds, Helena. No, we're here to talk about music.
We sure are.
Yes, and you've picked another disc for us to talk about. So why don't you tell everyone the album that you've picked?
Picked an absolute banger this time. It is Pang by Caroline Polachek. It is such an exquisite body of work, just like start to finish. It's 14 tracks and they're all just majestic. I don't know how else to how else would you explain it, really. In my life, I feel like I'm currently having some sort of pop quarter life crisis. I have just, for as long as I can remember, I've listened to like sad indie songs and like indie folk and straight for, you know, a lot of country, that kind of stuff, just sad stuff. And I'm turning 25 on Sunday and something in me has switched and I'm like, I need to listen to pop. Like loads of it. I need to blast pop in my ears until I'm completely sick of it. I simply cannot get enough. And I kind of, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say after the Slow Club one, I did mention about whether if you've actually listened to anything that doesn't involve people breaking down whilst singing this is a diversion from the previous two albums that you picked up. Yeah. And it's slightly more uplifting.
Well, it's more upbeat. Some of her subject matters are quite sad. She has one song which is called Look At Me Now. It's like, it's obviously a heartbreak song and she's saying, you can't look at me now.
Yeah. I feel like, I think I'm jumping ahead a bit, but if I write it back in for a second. Before we gush about the album, why have you picked the album?
I picked this album because this is the first album that I feel spoke to me on some sort of level that no album's actually spoken to me before, I don't think. I don't think I can quite put my finger on why, but there is something about this album that just like hits me where it hurts, like it hits me in the feels. And so that was a song reference, right? From the name of one of the songs from the album. No, I don't know why I picked it. It is just, in my opinion, an amazing piece of work, and I just can't get enough.
Okay. And how did you learn of Caroline Polachek? How did you discover the album?
So I spend a lot of my time just mooching on Spotify. I literally listen to music all day, every day. So I'm constantly trawling through. And I can't quite remember how I found her, but I came across her song, So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings. And I first listened to it and was like, oh, damn, this is great. And then I watched her video and she's got like this cute little dance that goes along with it. And before I knew it, I knew the whole dance and I was just trying to teach everyone in the office how to do it. And everyone thinks I'm a lunatic. But she's just got this one sweet move in the video where she like kisses her two fingers and then touches the like the heel, like the heel of her foot, and then like blows it off. I don't know how to. I just did a terrible explanation of the best bit in that video. It's just so fantastic. A lot of her like imagery is quite kind of witch-like almost. Mm-hmm. And so this video is just, it's just something else.
So it's pretty much the finding the song and then watching the video and it kind of...
I was hooked. And then the whole album was like, yeah, we'll just take this and we'll run with it forever.
So I'm assuming this was the first album that you listened to from her then?
Yeah, so this is the first time I'd heard of her, actually. I know that she was in a band previous to this, and she also released music under a pseudonym, but I hadn't listened to either of those, and this was the first thing that I came across. So I guess, for me, this was quite nice because it was like a fresh, it was a fresh voice, a fresh everything, really. Yeah, I just absolutely loved it.
I think when you initially mentioned the album to me, I mean, the name is, I never heard the name before, and as I was looking through it, I found that she was part of the band Chairlift, and the band Chairlift, the previous band, had a song called Bruises, which was released in about 2008, and it was used in an iPod commercial, and I quickly clicked on the video, and I don't know if you've listened to Bruises by Chairlift, but the song started playing, and it ticked like it kind of hit a switch in the back of my brain, saying, "You know this, you've heard this." Mm-hmm. And I think I remember it was on an iPod Nano commercial, and I can't remember if it was actually aired in this country, but I remember that song or that. Particularly the basically the kind of synthy riff of that song, and I'm pretty sure it used to be played in the kind of idents on iTunes, I think, because back in like 2008, 2009, when I was part of the dark side and used iTunes, and like when I basically started moving to buy music digitally, and I'm pretty sure that was then. I kind of remember that. I don't remember listening to the whole song, but I'm pretty sure the first beat, that beat kind of hit the back of my mind, and I must have come across it several times without even knowing, unless it was like the MySpace song for like several hundred people back in the day, I think. But other than that, I don't know really much anything about her since this and from this, so I was kind of pretty much going in blind for this album as well.
Mm. Yeah, well, this is the first thing she's ever put her actual name to.
Yeah.
So this feels like quite a big statement, I think.
Yeah.
Like she's finally found some sort of a space musically that just feels, you know, comfortable and right for her, which I think is really nice.
Yeah. For people listening who are probably also going hearing of Caroline Polachek for the first time, Caroline Polachek is an American musician, singer-songwriter / producer. She co-founded the indie pop band Chairlift, and she then, I think during the time she was with Chairlift, she actually recorded stuff, as I said, under different names. So she worked on, I think it was Ramona Lisa was the first one, and one under CEP, which was her initials. And then I think after Chairlift broke up, she then worked on this one. But she's also, let's say, she's a producer, and she's worked with artists like Blood Orange, the SBTRK, I'm not even going to pronounce that. There's probably a way of pronouncing it, but I can't remember. And also Charlie XCX. And I think she's also wrote songs for Beyonce as well.
That wouldn't surprise me. I didn't know that, but that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and some part, and I think as well when, and I'm not going to go through the whole of her career, but there's bits where I think she relocated to Tokyo, Japan, I think, when she was like a child, and then went back to America. And she then started singing choir from a young age as well, so she was kind of accustomed to like singing quite highly and very strong vocal stuff, which I want to bring up because it will come up again and listen to this album. And from childhood she did some stuff and then released this album.
It's funny that you said, I didn't know that she lived in Japan, because she's talked about the fact that a couple of these songs have a kind of Japanese sound to them. And I didn't know that, so that's really interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well she apparently in an interview and a quote that I'm just lifting from Wikipedia, she actually said she recounts early exposure to Japanese songs as being influential in her musical education. So there's Japanese singing is a lot of minor and pentatonic with really angular melodies that I really think stuck in my subconscious. Yeah. So she rode horses where she learns a lot of rhythm, apparently. Mm. So she learns about rhythm by riding horses.
Well, she's very interesting because I've heard her talk on a couple of platforms about her songs, and she's very theory based, and she seems to know all of that malarkey, of which I know absolutely nothing. But she talks about all sorts of things, and I'm like, whoa. Just went over my head, and I had I wouldn't have been thinking of it like that. I wouldn't have been thinking of it kind of that kind of structured in a way. So she's a very, very fascinating person, I think.
Yeah, I'm getting that impression of her when I was doing more research into her and into the songs on the album. So if we move to the album a bit before we talk about it generally, which are your go-to songs when you first? So when you first listen to this, which ones do you go to? Which ones do you go to first, or your highlights?
So I'm looking at my Spotify, and the ones which I've given a heart to on Spotify. What do those really mean? I've liked it. Plonked it in my liked songs. The first one obviously was "So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings," which was the first song I heard. And then normally when it comes to songs, I normally go for a name of a song that I feel I'll understand. Like I'll be feeling similar to, I guess. So the next one was "Hit Me Where It Hurts." And oh boy, did it hit me where it hurt. That is a corker. And then it was "Look At Me Now." And then I fell in love with "Pang." And then "Ocean of Tears." And then all of them. Because I do that. I never listen to, if I'm going to find an album, I never ever listen to the album from start to finish. Like, I'll never just put it on and think, oh, I'll just listen to this from start to finish and, you know, I'll just have it playing and I'll just go along with it. No, I have to flick through and find the songs that grab me immediately. Then I'll have them on repeat for probably, you know, a week, say that's 2 or 3 songs. And then once I'm kind of done with them, then I'll explore the other songs on the album. And I feel like I've, maybe not with all albums, but with a lot of albums, that seems to be how I work. I don't know if other people do that. I hope I'm not just the only one just repeating 3 songs on an album over and over and over again until I listen to the rest of it. But that, you know, seems to work.
So basically you just create your own single cycle before you listen to the rest of the album. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. It's like the curating your own kind of single release schedule for the artist.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, I can't remember when this was fully released, but I might have only heard a couple of the singles from it before the album actually came out. So maybe that is why I went for... No, that's right. I listened to "So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings" because it came out first. Then I listened to "Look At Me Now." And then I think the album came out and then I listened to it from there. So that probably makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, because I think if you look at the release schedule, there were 6 singles released for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was "Door," "Ocean of Tears," "Parachute," "So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings," which was released on September the 16th. "Look At Me Now" was released October the 14th, which was the day after my birthday. And October the 18th was when the album came out.
Right. So that makes a lot of sense.
So it was kind of like you physically couldn't listen to the album because you
It wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
No, that makes a lot more sense. I hadn't looked at the timeline really, but yeah.
So you were just listening to the singles like a normal person, Helena.
I'm not a lunatic. Oh my life. What a relief. That is so kind. I do that though. That is a thing. I'm sure it's a thing. No, that is nice to know that I'm not a complete weirdo. Yeah.
Well, I think it is kind of more or less just like picking your favourites and then listening to them and then perhaps dipping back in now. So, I mean, then again, I do kind of, I'm someone who, I don't listen to kind of playlists generally. I usually try and listen to as much as an album as possible it depends on if I like the album stuff. But occasionally I'll probably listen to a few and unless you craft your own kind of reorder the songs on an album, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
So you said stuff like "So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings," which I think when I googled it first, that was the first song that came up.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that is the one on this album. Holy moly!
I think it's a good representation of I think the album and of her as an artist as well. Mainly because you've got the video, which is kind of like where she's kind of like dancing in like a very deliberately cheesy setup of hell. with some quite interesting like choreography.
She choreographed it herself, you see.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where during the beginning bit where she kind of like moves her hands mm-hmm. across her face and stuff, like in a kind of almost Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction kind of way.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and then just comes up with like a song which is like full of like interesting imagery, which kind of help builds like a story in a kind of interesting way in how the lyrics are presented. So the impression you get is like someone like you've got like two people who are out separately, but then at least from her side, she's kind of thinking about her partner and kind of like getting jealous that they're not there. And yeah. apparently, like, and then like what I'm assuming is about Snapchat, and I'm assuming it's about Snapchat. Or
which bit?
It's like there's like don't send me photos, you're making it worse. Is it that or WhatsApp?
I feel like that's just nudes, no? Am I just being dirty minded about this? Like she's defo saying don't send me photos, it's making it worse because you're so hot, it's hurting my feelings. Surely she's talking about nudes, come on.
well, she says in the first verse, you're out there killing the game, so it's probably either just going out having fun or going hunting, if you want to go for.
I mean, she talks about, like, you're out there killing the game, and she's talking about going coast to coast, so whoever she's interested in this song is a touring musician, for sure. Mm-hmm. So the sending photos makes sense if you're away from each other for so long. It's a fantastic little story, but yeah. Because she's saying, like, I get a little lonely.
Yeah.
So and get a little close to me. It's great.
And it's quite as well because, like, that the chorus actually kind of cuts any momentum in the song and breaks down for that I get a little lonely line. Whereas, like, the build-up to the song in there, you kind of get the impression it's going to go for a bombastic chorus, but then deliberately kind of puts the brakes on the tempo of the song and stuff. And once you listen to the rest of the album, you understand that it's not stilted, it's deliberate. And there's probably a creative decision behind that.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like kind of full of vocal inflections and noises. And I remember a review of the album kind of pointed it out that she keeps a lot of gasps and breath sounds.
But I think that's why I like her, because she uses all these, it's a lot of vocal, like fancy, swirling, gymnastic-y type things, but not like a Christina Aguilera, you know, not that kind of thing, but it's almost like operatic and it's so spectacular. And she uses all these swirling oohs, and a lot of the stuff in the background of her songs is vocal. So to have all of her like sharp intakes of breath and all sorts of things, it's just like the light relief that you need with a song that has like really crashing drums or a really mm-hmm. heavy bass line. It just seems to kind of give you a second of light relief before it cuts back into something more gritty. I think it's fab.
Yeah, and it has the, and I quote, the first guitar solo I've ever done with my voice. Yeah, whilst she's also singing Show Me Your Banana.
But that lyric is disputed. I want it to be Show Me Your Banana, but I guess maybe that's because I'm thinking that she's receiving nudes.
But then again, I think Daniel, who's the producer? What's the producer?
Danny L. Hall.
Yeah.
Hall?
Yeah, he posted something on Twitter saying that I can neither confirm nor deny the lyrics of Show Me Your Banana. And on Genius, there's actually an Instagram post where she posed with a banana.
I'm sure she's hamming it up a bit, but it definitely could be Show Me Love. Na na na. No, 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 no. But I feel like in my heart of hearts, I just want it to be Show Me Your Banana.
Well, if it isn't, they are. Well, she and her producer are playing into that. But,
oh, yeah, they're having so much fun. They're having a great time. And good for them, crikey.
Yeah, it's pretty good song. And it's a good introduction to her, anyway. So what else would you say jumps out at you?
Hit Me Where It Hurts jumped out at me. And that is because there's something about her kind of, the verse in that, she just kind of says lines kind of one after another quite quickly. And I just loved that kind of, it feels really abrupt. And I don't know, I don't quite know how to explain what it is that I like about it. But she says things like bullseye, dead end, moving target, carousel, baggage, claim it. Like it just, and then she says, promise one day you'll hate me, but right now just ride it out. Like it's all just like really, really fast. And I just loved that. It just felt quite different and quite fresh. And yeah, and yeah, her lyrics are great. Also, who sings, go on and hit me in the heart, hit me where it hurts.
There's, I think as well, there's a, in, again, going back to the kind of the interesting takes or the directions that the album goes through. And I think it's, I really quite like the album, by the way. I think, I really quite liked it. I don't know if I've said that yet. Because I think this is like the first one where it kind of like puts in, not a spanner in the works, but something which kind of shows that she's trying to vary quite a few of the song, vary the songs through it. Now, when you listen to the album in sequence, eventually, Helen, eventually.
Yes.
It works quite, you had Pang and New Normal come in, and this is where it kind of like has that da-da-da-da-da kind of thing, and it kind of throws an interesting
spanner in the works. I think you're right. And she talks about the first song, the middle song, and the last song are kind of, she called them bookends.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of like ethereal. They're quite airy-fairy. And they definitely are standalone pieces, but they just bookend these bigger, kind of more expressive songs in just a really nice, calming way. And they're quite sad and they're quite vulnerable. And then her other songs are a little bit more hard-hitting, even though they're kind of still talking about hard things. But I think she wrote this album over... Some of the songs were written in 2017, some of them 2018, some of them 2019. So you can understand a span of like changes in direction, changes in, you know, and I think that's why it's the perfect body of work.
Yeah, because I think there's probably like a journey, and there's a quote actually, I'll say a quote, she responded to someone on Instagram a while ago where she says that the album is sequenced narratively. Side A is descent through apathy, longing and fear. Side B is reascent towards revelation, humour and trust. And this was actually from a comment about Look At Me Now.
Yeah,
which I think is about near the halfway point, and that kind of works actually, because you kind of hear like the kind of introspective and slightly, yeah, the introspective kind of side is a lot more on the front side of the album, and when you think about the perhaps the more upbeat, up tempo, mood raising songs are on the second bit, so it kind of like takes you on kind of a journey. So it's pretty much, so if we say the narrative, and as you said earlier, so you've got pretty much old Helena's tasting music up to new Helena's tasting music.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see like, so, which is quite interesting, because what I found as well is that a few of the songs, if I look at one of the singles again, quite a few of the singles are from, or the bigger ones like Hit Me, So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings, particularly Door, which was the first one, are on the end of the album rather than the start.
Along with Ocean of Tears, which was the single as well.
That's the track 8, so which is the second, which is probably side B, whereas the others are from the first bit, I think, yeah.
Yeah, they are. She's really thought it out.
Yeah, and I think particularly as well, I'm like the last week, like following her on Instagram, and she did some like a couple of Instagram stories, I think, where she was setting up a studio, and she's like talking about some of the stuff in there and getting quite technical, or at least explaining why she was using some of these instruments and stuff. And you can tell that she's got a very strong hold on the production side as well. So a lot, she's worked with these different producers, but you can really tell that there is a strong consistency from her side.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, it's obvious that you can tell that she really knows herself and who she is musically, and you can hear it in here. Like, there is no doubting, you know, the bits that she's fully crafted and formed herself. You can hear her, not just her voice, but like everything through quite loudly. And I love that. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And if we go, we just move on to, I think, Pang as well, because you mentioned that one. That's, I mean, like, she describes like the concept of Pang for the name of the album, the song, is just like to describe hunger, desire, envy, and nostalgia.
Yeah, because I think she said she had the name for the album, but didn't have a song named Pang yet. And they'd started writing this song years ago that they didn't quite finish. And then Danny had started messing around with it and he'd done something to it. And then I think they wrote, you know, they used a bit of what they had and then created Pang. And it is incredible. I think the line that I love, and it's verse one, it's "there's a look in your eyes when you're hungry for me. It's a beautiful knife cutting right where the fear should be." It's just so poetic. It's, I mean, it's a bit, you know, but it, I think it's a really wonderful line. Like, who, ah, oh, just who writes like this? She's so great.
Yeah. And there's, and in term, and I th- again, I think harking to the symmetry as well, there's actually a massive reference to door in the second verse. Because I think, if Genius tells me, there's a, the end of verse two goes, "I open the door and you run through." And it's actually an inversion of the chorus of "Door" at the like penultimate song on the album as well. And so it does bookend. Kind of bookends each other and stuff. And it's, I really do like how when like the sequence of an album kind of works, and it makes it feel more.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Rewarding.
That's it. Kind of more rewarding when you finally reach the end. Of it, and you kind of realise that it's all connected, and it invites re-listens.
Yeah.
Song I really want to quite like, and quite like, because it's quite referential, is the "Caroline Shut Up," because like it's just quite brazen. I do kind of like really quite admire the fact that she just like tells herself to shut up, and because it's one of those things that it's not seen much in songs that much. I mean, people like there was musicians are singing about themselves all the time, but nothing really brazen or unsubtle as just like telling, "Oh, I'll tell myself, Caroline, shut up." It's quite funny at first, and but then kind of really works.
Yeah, it is kind of a bit abrasive at first, and then you're like, "Oh, okay, this makes so much sense." No, it is a lovely song actually. This one didn't spring out of me at first. This took some work, I think, but I do love it. It is good. I just love her storytelling. I just love her lyrics. You know, she says things like, "Now you got me jealous and I'm not the jealous type." It's just great. I don't know. I just love what she writes. I'm sure I spoke like this about Slow Club, and I'm sure I spoke like this about Phoebe Bridgers as well.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's quite similar. I mean, because I think one of the... I think one of the things you said during the Phoebe episode, which has like stuck in my mind, particularly with other episodes, was that the idea that people can write something from a different type of, from a different part of the world at a different time and place that you relate to. And that kind of sums up quite a lot of the personal things that people take from albums and stuff. And like,
oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And like, and it's quite a lot of turn of phrases here. And like, example, "Do I love you too much?" And I tell myself, "Caroline, shut up."
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, particularly, it's that, like, it's, I mean, probably not exactly that in general, but everyone kind of like says something and then tells myself, "Now, shut up."
Yeah. Like, "Oh, you're overthinking this."
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's true. No, but that I've said that to, I've said it at gigs before when I've been talking about music, because there's one song, a song by a lady called Julia Jacklin that she wrote called LA Dream. And it's an absolute banger, but she talks about standing in Grand Central Station. I'm just going to look for the, lyrics. I can't find them. I'm not going to search them, but she's talking about standing in Grand Central Station and telling someone that they're difficult to love. And she wrote that song. She's Australian, but she was obviously writing about being in America. And I had, years before this song came out, I'd stood in Grand Central Station in Birmingham and told somebody that they were really difficult to love. And then, you know, when you hear a song and you're like, holy shit, how does somebody write lyrics that just speaks to you? I've sung that song at so many gigs and been like, isn't it weird? Like, you can be in a completely different country to somebody and they can sing about a place which just resonates and it makes sense. And I feel like that with Caroline's music. A lot of things that she says, even just the hit me in the heart, hit me where it hurts line, even just simple things like that, just, ooh, they really do. That really does hit me in the heart. I'm like, oh, ah, you know, people just write things and you think, damn, can't believe they've written that before I have. Like, why did they get there first? Like, why did they make it sound so cool? I wish I could have done that. But yeah, I do talk about Hit Me Where It Hurts. I absolutely love that song and it inspired me. I was writing with a friend for his doing some top lining for his album, and I wanted to, it was way more poppy than anything I ever write on my own, and I was having real fun with it. Now I've been listening to Caroline Polachek and I was like, I'm gonna do a song where I throw loads of words out quickly like she does in the verses of Hit Me Where It Hurts. And they are the lyrics that I am proudest of that maybe I've ever written in my life. And I'm like, Caroline, you did that for me. I'm so grateful. Thank you. I'm sure everyone else were like, oh, they're a bit crap. But I was just really happy with them. And I was like, wow, I've never written anything like this before. I've never said these kind of things before. I've never done it in this sort of phrasing, felt this kind of, like I can be this assertive in a song or this abrupt. Because often the songs that I've written for myself are quite slow and sad and feel quite vulnerable, whereas this one felt like more of a kind of just a kickback. It just felt a bit more gutsy. And that, I'm like, thanks, Caroline. You did that for me. I appreciate that.
wasn't related to the one time you put on Instagram that you wrote a happy song and you wasn't... And he went on some kind of like identity crisis after you.
Well, yeah, it wasn't that song, but that was like the start of my, oh my gosh, am I happy now? Do I just want to write happy songs now? How does this work when you've crafted something for yourself, which is about being really sad and vulnerable? What do you do with yourself now?
what you do is you then discover indie pop and then find that people write songs about really sad and tragic things, but in a really upbeat and happy way. Which is
I think that's where I'm headed. Yeah, that's a great little pocket of the world. I'll sit quite comfortably there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice to write a happy song and actually you as the writer know that maybe you've written this happy tune, but actually there's sadness behind it and other people just don't see that. That's kind of cool. It's like a little hidden secret that only you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things where like people write happy songs and they're all actually about really bad things. So yeah. Oh, it sounds really good, actually. It's about death. But
sounds really jolly. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's true.
I think quite a few of my favourite bands actually sound quite upbeat or are talking about death. So. But
it seems to be quite normal. There's a real problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's something going on with musicians out there and sadness, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's like they're trying to... It's trying to like, find an outlet to deal with it, isn't it? So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah. But, I just want to let me move on a bit slightly because this is kind of like her, like, well, not her first solo album, but her first proper solo album under her own name. So this is probably the first time where she's kind of been able to be herself properly. Even though I think I've not listened to her other stuff, but other solo stuff. But I did kind of dip into the first Chairlift album, and my God, I think it's brilliant. from what I've listened so far, so I probably will be listening to a bit more of Chairlift when I get the chance to. Did you ever listen?
I did. I dipped in a little bit. I listened to a couple of bits and pieces. I wasn't as taken. Not that I thought it wasn't as good. It just didn't grab me. Whatever was happening, like to them when they were writing it, just didn't. Hit me where it hurt like Pang did, I guess. Because I listened to Crying in Public, which was a good tune. But yeah, it just didn't... I'm not bashing him. I'm not saying that Chairlift wasn't any good. It just didn't speak to me like Caroline's solo album did, to be honest.
I think it's kind of like the... Because it was like 2008 it came out. It had a lot of the sound that I kind of... From what I was listening to at that point as well. And it does hit a kind of sound that I really like. Back to around 2008, 2000, like during my early to mid 20s, like that was when my kind of musical renaissance happened. So it must be around the 23 to 25 age where people kind of have a like a Oh, what's the word?
I'm calling it a pop quarter-life crisis.
or at least a shift in music taste, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or at least, I think I found the genre of music that was I should have found years ago when I was that age. But and it kind of reminded me of, I think that kind of reminded me of that element, that era and that kind of sound, synthy kind of electro-pop.
Yeah.
But I think particularly with Bruises being, there's a lot of quite underlying darkness in that track as well. Underlying darkness and like, in a very kind of upbeaty, like light pop riff, synth riff and stuff.
It's just got a colourful coat on, hasn't it really? Like
yeah.
A sad song with like a pretty outer layer. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just looking at if there was any other kind of solo albums from people. Do you know of any kind of like solo albums from bands that you've liked that you quite liked as well? Or I mean, I know you wasn't taken with Chairlift, but I'm just wondering because this is like like an artist who's like had a solo like a solo album out. I'm just wondering if there was any others that you know of that.
I'm sure we talked about it in the last one about Slow Club. I guess those ones were huge ones for me because I love Charles Watson's solo album and I love Self Esteem. Absolutely adore her stuff. So those guys I really love. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't think of any. I'm sure there are far more.
Thinking about it, there's actually quite a stylistic crossover between this and the Self Esteem album. Particularly with like, not exactly the sound, but the kind of pop flourish and the idea, and like particularly where you got the impression of that it is like a majority of it is like the main artist's creativity being able to be opened up. So yeah, I've not thought of that.
But also, they're both really strong females, and they're both singing about things that feel quite empowering, and that's why I think they are similar in a way. Yeah, I love them both for their like lyrical content and who they hold themselves as and how they conduct themselves. I think that's quite important in this day and age to be a woman kind of making music and being strong and showing that, oh, I can produce and I can do all of this and I, you know, and kind of just smashing all of these sorts of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, but kind of ideas that people have in their heads of women in the music industry previously. So these are two women that are going in their own direction and doing their own thing, going it alone and making it really cool.
Yeah, breaking the misconceptions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that. There's a lot of crossover and a lot of crossover. So it might not be it might just be a natural progression for you then. So I wonder if the Self Esteem album kind of opened you up to Caroline Polachek.
Maybe, in a way. But I have just been listening to an awful lot of pop. pop is my absolute jam and I just want to dance and I just want to be happy. And yeah, so there are loads of things kind of that have recently popped up, which I guess before I would have like straight away poo-pooed and not even batted an eyelid at and just thought, oh no, I couldn't possibly. And now I'm like, oh yes, this is fantastic.
Well, saying that, I remember particularly being a fan of Kate Nash and her second and particularly her third album, which the name of I've just completely forgot, is a lot of very riot girly kind of shoegazy stuff. And I remember listening to it the first time and not really listening to it. And then about 5-6 years later, go back to revisit it, and it's just a lot of what I was listening to back then. And I kind of like managed to pry myself into that, and a lot of it is actually kind of what I'm listening to now. And and I think it's like a natural progression of that point. So if we go back to Pang, there's been quite a lot of interesting reception of this as well. So for example, if I quote Wikipedia, Pang was met with acclaim from music critics upon its release. At Metacritic, the album received a score of 81 out of 100, with 13 critics indicating universal acclaim. Yeah, and on Metacritic as well, there's like 11 positive reviews, 2 mixed, And, oh, okay, there was 24 positive reviews, and there's only one negative, but that one negative wasn't there when I last checked earlier today.
Why do people leave negative reviews? I actually don't understand. If you don't like it, get on your bike. Just get out of here. You don't have to listen to this if you don't want to. Why are you commenting that you don't like an album? What is wrong with people? Yeah.
Well, that's what's interesting, though, is that it's a universal score of 8.8 based on 98 ratings. But a lot of the reviews are 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 9. And then the one negative is giving it a 0. But the person said, I wanted to give only a rating, but for some reason it doesn't allow me to. So here I am writing out. But
wow,
yeah.
Kapow.
But a lot of people are saying, amazing album. This is the amazing album. This is the album I've been waiting for all my life. The next level of music. Caroline is an artist we truly don't deserve.
I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't written by you either.
Might have been. Yeah. No.
My fave album of 2019. Yes, it's so beautiful. A soul journey. Amazing vocals and a very unique production.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and it got onto a few websites, best of 2019 list as well. It reached number one on Dazed 20 albums of 2019. It got to 20 on Exclaim's 20 best pop and rock albums of 2019. It got to 11 on The Guardian's best 50 albums of 2019, which is going to be interesting because I'll come back to that in a sec. Paste was 37th. Pop Matters, 45th out of 70. Up Rocks was 19 out of 35. And Vice gave it 41 out of 100. Now, the reason I just want to mention about The Guardian in that it came 11th in their top 50 of the year is that actually it was only given like a very 3 out of 5 on The Guardian. Yeah, so...
Interesting. And then someone else popped it in.
Yeah, so... It'll be very interesting to see how The Guardian actually assembles its...
Yeah, that is quite interesting.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting one as well, is that because it says, Pang, a great title, suggesting melancholy by means of an onomatopoeic jolt, offers a lush take on hyper-modern pop. It bears vague similarities to A Clutch of Fellow Travellers, while remaining palpably personal. Insomnia's ecstatic aches suggest Bjork or Waze Blood. So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings digitizes Haim, and the pairing of PC Music Illuminous with a bold singer has an analogue in Charlie XCX's recent album. See, Haim, that's... I can see that. Yeah, I don't know if you've listened to much Haim.
Haim?
Haim, sorry, yes.
At first I had no idea. Yes, absolutely. When I listened to So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings... That's all I kind of heard, really. I heard a Haim-y kind of vibe on it, and I just thought, yes, I approve. I love those girls. They rock.
I've not listened to much from them, if I'm completely honest. I know the one song, because the video is basically a strange, unintentional homage to Bittersweet Symphony. I can't remember what it's called. It's the one where they're walking down the street.
They walk in almost every single video. Is it Summer Girl?
No.
Is it literally there? Or if they're not walking, it's not a Haim music video.
No, okay. It's one taken in one take, and the kind of ends with it zooming out and finding that the street is completely empty, and it must have been filmed at like 6 a.m. in the morning. Oh, what's it called? Does it Want You Back?
It could be Want You Back.
If that's an actual song, it might have been that one then.
It is. Want You Back is an actual song.
It might have been that one then, because I think that's what I've got in head on that. So, but on the top side of the review stuff, I mean, it's Tiny Mixtapes gave it like 4.5 out of 5, and mentions like Caroline, what kind of wizard are you? It's hard to make it through Pang without repeatedly asking that question. So, did you write that?
Very well.
I think. It's got a lot more. It's got a lot of positive, like, good reviews than negative. Well, even the Guardian one isn't exactly negative. It's just it doesn't actually say anything negative in the review. It just gives it 3 out of 5 for some reason. Yeah. So I don't think you're alone in singing this album's praises.
No, I'm sure I'm not. But I mean, it is a corker. I'm so chuffed that I found it.
Yeah.
And I've shared it with so many people. I'm like, listen to this song. And I've also said to everyone, like, you also need to learn the dance from So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings, because I can't stop doing it and I need somebody else to dance with me so I don't look like a lunatic.
I might not try it. I'm not as limber as I used to be, so...
Well, I think now might be the time to to try. I don't know. This album is great. I mean, there are just songs like New Normal is the track number 3, and it's actually just 7 verses. It doesn't have a single chorus or pre-chorus, and I could listen to the song just over and over and over again.
It's another example of a kind of subverting normal song structure and pop structure and stuff. And
yeah, absolutely.
And it's time for the final question, the important one.
Oh, no.
It's the song for the playlist.
Oh, this is so hard.
For those listening for the first time, this is where there's a Spotify playlist where the guests pick one song from the album to be immortalised forever.
Oh, it's a toss-up between So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings, Hit Me Where It Hurts and Look At Me Now. Oh, I think it has to be Hit Me Where It Hurts.
Okay. And why is that?
I think Look At Me Now is a fabulous song, but it's too slow and it doesn't show. Like, if you're just going to listen to one song to see what she's like, I don't think that gives you enough kind of insight into her stuff as Hit Me Where It Hurts does. And also, I feel like Hit Me Where It Hurts talks to me on a level. And I love that. That's what I need. So Hit Me Where It Hurts is the one.
Okay, yeah, Hit Me Where It Hurts. That's going to go immortalized forever and ever and ever. Well, at least until Spotify folds and it stops working. But
oh no.
I dare to think of that day. So that's the end of round 3 for you, Helena.
Well, that was an absolute pleasure. I loved it.
Thanks for having me again. No, it's fine. It's fine. And again, you've introduced me to an artist that I quite like. Something very different to Phoebe Bridges.
Yep.
But still someone I quite liked as well. And the second one, technically, I already knew of, so that one counts. So.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm glad you like this one as well. That's good.
But yeah, that's very interesting album, very interesting artist. So yeah, I've only listened to the first half of the first Chairlift album, but I've deliberately not tried to just listen to Chairlift instead. So I'm gonna dip into that, which is gonna be interesting. So I'll probably listen to everything, get to the first half of the album, go to the second half of the album, listen to the other albums, and perhaps not like them anymore. But that first half of the album that I've liked so far is really good. So I'm quite looking forward to exploring. So.
Well, that's good. You're free to roam now, I guess.
Yes, yes. I'm not free to roam. I'm not going to be able to listen to something else and feel guilty for not doing prep for...
Well, what are really?
Or if I listen to a podcast, I'm like, should I listen to this podcast or should I actually give an album another listen? But Helena, if people listening want to follow you online and keep track of your musical endeavours, where can they find you?
Best place to go is my Instagram, which I believe is hels.grace, and that is me. I'm going to be releasing some music soon. I feel like I say that sentence all the time.
Yes, I've been waiting for at least a year.
I know, it's been longer than that, I'm telling you. I'm a scaredy cat, what can I say? But follow me on Instagram if you like, and I will share more music on there for sure.
I'm not guaranteeing, but perhaps one day you might see an Instagram story on the Pick a Disc Instagram where I attempt the dance to So Hot I'm Hurt My Feelings and delete it about 30 seconds after.
I can't wait for that. I'll be waiting. I absolutely cannot wait.
I don't know.
I know. I've tried to do so many renditions in my bedroom, which I think it's best just to keep to myself. I have shown one mate and tried to get him to do it along with me. He likes a good dance and he thought I was a bit of an idiot, so
won't respond to my texts, my calls or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone now.
He's moved house. No.
Hit me where it hurts. Yeah.
And with that, Helena, and say thank you again for picking a disc and chatting to us about Caroline Polachek.
Anytime.
You've been listening to Pick a Disc, and I've been your host, Matthew Labour. Our theme music is Pump by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Pick a Disc is hosted by the We Made This podcast network, and you can find them on www.spreaker.com/user/WeMadeThis. You can find the Pick a Disc show site on www.spreaker.com/show/pickadisc. You can find us on all the usual social media type places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter under Pick a Disc. You can also email us on pickadisc@gmail.com. Until next time, happy listening to all those discs that you are picking. Goodbye.